The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.
This is the Retirement and IRA Show coming to you from beautiful Northern Colorado. Join us this morning as certified financial planner Jim Saulnier, as well as Colorado State University finance instructor and certified financial planner Chris Stein, teach you about IRAs, 401ks, annuities, Social Security, pension plans, and estate planning in a fun and enjoyable show. Whether you are listening live in Colorado or streaming from their website or iTunes podcast, Jim and Chris want you to know that they're available to help you plan for your retirement. Just visit their website at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And click the Meet the Team button on the homepage. Now, here's Jim and Chris with today's show.
Today's show, we are going to be live taking phone calls in the studio today. So we haven't been live for a little bit, so hopefully you've got some questions you can throw our way. Phone number to call if you have a question is 970-353-1310. Boy, it's been so long since we've done a live show, I haven't said that in a while. And they took down the little sign, so 970-353-1310 is the phone number, or 877-353-1310 if you're outside of this calling area. And I'm here. Jim Saulnier is madly typing on his computing device, so I'm not sure what's going on. Probably playing Words with Friends or something along those lines.
Negative.
No. What are you doing?
I'm writing a note to myself.
Oh. Okay. I have a piece of scratch paper here if you need it.
No. This is, see, all the...
That's a lot of notes.
These are notes. Yes. That's when I come up with ideas.
Oh. And now, as you progress in age, you need to write them down quickly before they're
down.
Gone. I get it. So,
Micah, I can't hear myself.
I can't hear myself.
Can
is that
not
a song? It's kind of quiet, so you aren't quite as powerful sounding on the radio as
I
you
hear you
are.
Pretty good. Oh, now I hear me. Okay.
That's better.
Do you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Perfect.
For those who don't know, we're live, so we're in studio talking into these microphones. We got headphones on. And sometimes it doesn't quite work right, but hopefully everything is working now.
No, we're good.
All right.
Just takes a little adjustment at the beginning. So we do have a few emails to answer that we've gotten this week. So waiting for people to call, we do have things we can talk about. Plus, this is the fall break at CSU, which for most of you means Thanksgiving. So this week, we have that coming up. I know you're heading
I'm going
to,
home. I'm
have some
leaving.
Nice time with some family, I think.
Are I'm you gonna be there? I'm going home next week, which will be my first holiday trip home in 3 years. I try to avoid traveling along the holidays, and for very good reason. It really stinks traveling around the holidays. But for some odd reason, I don't know why, I decided literally at the last minute – I didn't decide this until 2 weeks ago – to fly home for Thanksgiving holiday. And my only regret is instead of flying home tomorrow, I chose Monday. And I'm just worried. When is it Tuesday and Wednesday the busy days? The really, really, really busy days?
Yeah. I think Monday will be less so.
I'm hoping. And then I fly home Friday right after Thanksgiving. And I think that will be a lighter travel day because most people are going to stay Friday and go home either Saturday or Sunday.
Right.
So I'm just trying to fly around the crowds.
It's a good idea. Do they is clam chowder a staple at Thanksgiving back home?
No, but I'll be going out for seafood on Tuesday and Wednesday, so I will have chowder and clams and who knows what. It's not seafood season right now. Lobsters may still be in, but they'll probably be expensive. Swordfish is always around, so I'll probably have some of that. Scallops. New Bedford, where I'll be staying, is the largest scallop port in the nation, so they'll be around. Hmm. And then, of course, on Thanksgiving, we do eat turkey.
But no side of clam chowder?
No side of clam chowder. Hmm. Although my niece is, for the first time, she and her live-in boyfriend, they have their own home now, are going to be hosting Thanksgiving. So I have no idea what the younger generation, people in their 20s, are going to be cooking.
Hmm.
Could, might be cereal.
Could be interesting, yeah.
I don't know. I have no clue. But she is going to be hosting Thanksgiving. And I don't know how well she cooks. I've never actually seen that girl spend 1 minute in the kitchen except to walk through it on the way to the
What if it's her fiancé
door.
That does the cooking?
Maybe he does. But I'm just curious on how, knowing my sister who loves to cook, she will be over my niece's house doing most of the cooking.
That sounds like fun.
Anyways, that's it. So I'll be gone in a few days. Hopefully, I'll be able to fly out. Today, we were going to do something unique, listeners, because it is our show before Thanksgiving. And for the last few years, we used to do turkey trivia on this live show. We would ask a Thanksgiving-related question. We would encourage people to call in with an answer. And then we would somehow take that answer, archaic as it may be, as it relates to financial planning and retirement planning, and somehow warp it, I guess you could say, and relate it to retirement planning. The problem is this year, we got the questions late. I didn't decide to do this literally until yesterday. And Tina in the office, who does all our, I guess you could say our research, she does our top song research for us and turkey trivia. She did a wonderful job and got 10 great questions. But as Chris and I reviewed the answers, I think we would both agree, Chris, rather difficult to relate the answers to retirement planning.
So we can do traditional trivia, just not connect it to.
Correct. So we thought, let's do something fun instead, because we have a few email questions we can answer and then open up the phone lines, of course, to listeners who want to call in with any live questions. But what we're going to do, because we want to give away a pie, this is going to be Pie Day. We're not going to be live anymore in November. So everyone who calls today with a question, a retirement-related or financial-related question, of course, will get entered into the pie drawing for a wonderful, wonderful pie from Fat Albert's Pies right here in Greeley. But also, at the end of every segment, we're going to ask a turkey trivia question or a Turkey Day, Thanksgiving Day-related trivia question. Then during the break, everybody can call in. And we'll start taking, at the beginning of the next segment, the callers. And anyone who answers the question right will also be entered into the free pie drawing. So it's just going to be a way for listeners who don't want to call and ask a financial planning related question, which is usually the rule. Today, it's going to be a different rule. Just call and answer one of the Turkey Day trivia questions.
Very nice.
Sounds like
so
a plan?
Extra opportunities to enter into the drawing.
Yes.
And we'll know today, because at the end of today's show, we will pick randomly one of those entrants into the drawing, and you'll know if you can get a pie. You won't be able to get a pie for Thanksgiving. It doesn't work quite that quickly, but you can certainly arrange for a pie as we head into December and Christmas pie time. They have a couple different kinds of pumpkin pie if you want to go fairly traditional, but then they have cherry pie, I believe, and apple pie, and I like chocolate cream pie this time of year. Just seems good.
They have a very good chocolate cream. Have you ever had their chocolate cream pie?
Yes, I have.
It's
very
decadent.
Good. Yes,
it is. It's wonderful.
So do you want to start out with an email question? Or I'll remind people they can call in 970-353-1310 if you have a retirement planning related question. We'd be happy to answer it for you. And if you call out from outside of the 970 area code, it is 877-353-1310, and the radio station will pick up the dime on that phone call. But what's our first email question? as you finish chewing your breakfast that we're not supposed to have in the radio studio.
You did that on purpose. You saw me eating my Egg McMuffin.
Yeah, payback is a bummer, huh?
You get to eat as we're driving. I can't because I'm driving.
You can't eat while driving?
I was talking today, too.
Oh, I think it's more that part.
So I have to try to eat my breakfast now. Okay. I'm going to begin with a quick little fun.
Well, if you hand me the email questions, I can certainly read them.
That's a quick little fun email we got yesterday. So you don't have to read it right now.
This question?
It's not a question. I was just going to give her a shout out and thank her for that fine advice. She heard me mentioning about my K-Cups.
So Jim finally bought a Keurig coffee maker for his house. We've had one at the office for years and years and years, but he now has one for his house. He was talking about obtaining the K-Cups that go in it, and someone heard us talking about that and suggested a place that you can go and get some reasonably priced K-Cups. And that has nothing at all to do
I know.
With retirement planning.
But I just got this in yesterday.
Is that an indication of the thinness of our
population of emails? We have real questions as well, as we always do.
That'd be awesome. Can we go with one of those?
But I want to thank this listener. She's a local listener. She likes to call herself Georgette. I want to thank her. And her website for those who have K-Cups. I haven't been to it yet.
I wouldn't give that out over the air.
Oh, why is that?
Well, because we haven't checked it.
There's a rule about K-Cup buying?
Well, you're basically promoting their website for them. And what if it turns out to be run by the mafia and it, I don't know. Have you checked it out?
No, I haven't been to it yet.
I know.
All right.
It's your show if you want to throw it on out there. People call you up because they got all kind of virus on their computer after they go.
Goodness.
These days, you got to be careful.
Well, we know this woman is a real woman.
Do you? It's an email.
No, but it's from her.
Is it?
Yeah, she's called the show
before.
You
are very naive.
All right.
Very naive.
I won't read it. But thank you if you're a real – actually, if she could call, if she's real and listening today, and she can give the website because then we know she's real.
Sure.
Okay. But anyways, thank you for the information on my K-Cups.
And it's probably fine. But it's possibly not.
I do want to throw Keurig under the bus, though. You know their new version 2.0 Keurig?
I haven't used it, but I'm familiar with them, yes.
It doesn't accept all K-Cups.
Isn't that nice?
What they've done, as I've researched this, apparently more non-Keurig K-Cups are being sold now than Keurig K-Cups. So they came out with this new machine, and if you have a K-Cup that apparently is not paying any type of royalties to Keurig, it doesn't work inside Keurig's new one. And I found that out, unfortunately, after ordering 198 K-Cups. But not all of them, some of them work, some of them don't. And then, you know, thank God for YouTube. Because I went on YouTube and just Googled overcoming K-Cup, and there's videos after videos after videos on how to do it. You can do it with a little magnet. You can do it by removing a part of your machine, and I didn't want to do that. The magnet one is really cool. You just stick this little magnet, any little magnet, in one little section of the K-Cup, the Keurig, and it overrides the computer system. But the coolest and easiest way is you take the K-Cups of one of them that work. And you just cut the top off with a sharp little box cutting knife. So you have this little top. And you take some tape, you know, and you roll the tape so it's two-sided sticky tape. You put it and you stick that on top of the cup, the K-Cup that doesn't work, and it accepts it. So the guy showed that there's an optical reader in the new one that's looking for things that are printed on the top of the new K-Cup.
So now as the water flows through the cup, it's going through two lids and a piece of sticky tape.
You put the sticky tape off to the side because the water only goes through that hole. Okay. The water is shot through the hole, so it's not even going through the
tape?
No.
That's good.
Because it goes through that little
tape
tube.
In my coffee.
It has none of that. But I thought, you SOBs.
We've talked about a lot of things on this show.
but
in the past, hacking your coffee maker is a new one.
I'm just trying to warn people, if you go out to the stores and you want to use any K-Cup without having to cut the top off, look for a non-2.0 version Keurig.
Mm-hmm. I'd also like to warn people, if you want good-tasting coffee, don't buy a Keurig.
I will agree.
Just saying.
I will agree on that. But
there's certainly a convenience / quality trade-off.
Yes, yes. In the office, it's perfect because when people come in, they have copious amounts. They can get any type of coffee they want. At home, I only use it in the evening. I want a quick cup of coffee. I don't feel like brewing a full pot. And I just can pull out anything, and it's there. Plus, I went to decaf, and there's very limited decaf choices in the store. But I shop for my K-Cups on Amazon. You just put in decaf K-Cups, and my God, there's hundreds of different brands and flavors and types. So I can really expand my decaf choice. So anyways, let me get to an actual question.
That would be super sweet.
Why don't you give out our information again?
This is the Retirement and IRA Show. As you might not have known from the topics we've been discussing, but if you have a retirement-related question, 970-353-1310. I think everyone's out scraping the frost off their cars this morning, so we haven't gotten any calls yet. But 970-353-1310 will get to your call right away. Phone lines are open. Later in the show, they'll clog up as they usually do. So now is a great time to call in. Plus, it'll remove some of this dead air as Jim looks through his emails.
Well, I'm looking through the various emails, and I have an email here, actually. You can see. It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
It is actually an email from someone who came to that presentation I did a few weeks ago. Remember, we were going to talk about this on last week's show, and we didn't have enough time?
Yes.
Tax implications of a trust. Mm-hmm. So let me just explain to our listeners a little bit of this. I think I'll address this. I'm not going to read his question here because he sent this question to me in private. But what had happened is I had gave a presentation. It was called Get Your Ducks in a Row. I do this every year for the Poudre Valley Hospital Foundation. And they have an estate planning attorney who is talking about what you need. It kind of follows a time frame. The estate planning attorney talks about excuse me, will talk about what is important to put together in your will, and how to make sure your will is up to date and have everything as far as your estate part taken care of. Then I'll come on and do a presentation and explain, Chris, that certain assets aren't going to pass to your family and friends based on what you put into your estate plan, but instead those assets are going to pass based on beneficiary designation forms. We call that they pass by right of law is how it's stated. And of course, most listeners should know those types of accounts are your IRAs, your 401ks, and other types of retirement plans. They're your life insurance policies and your annuity policies. All of those, Chris, don't generally pass to your beneficiaries via your will. They pass by the actual beneficiary form associated with each account. Each account's going to have their own form. So I talk about that. Then one of the doctors from PVH comes on, and he's a palliative care doctor, Chris. And he talks about palliative care and how that works. And then to round it out, you can see where this is going. A funeral director comes in and talks about funeral planning, costs associated with funerals, options with funerals. And it's called Get Your Ducks in the Row. Anyways, there'll be one in Greeley next year. The hospital is looking to put one on in Greeley as well as Fort Collins. So we'll keep our listeners, our local listeners, up to date on that. And if the Greeley one comes out, if they are going to do it, it's going to be next summer. They've asked if I could do it for them. So we'll keep them posted on that. But it's a really good event. We usually get 60, 70 people there. This year, the room was absolutely full, so I have no idea how many people showed up, but there was a lot. And as I started talking, Chris, I instantly got a question on, because I was saying you never name your estate as beneficiary of your retirement accounts.
Right.
It's one of the worst things to do. And instantly, a woman raised her hand and told me, said out to the group, She had named her IRA as beneficiary of her estate. Her estate was beneficiary of the IRA. And she said she did this because she was told to do it by the person who was putting her estate plan together, the attorney. As it turns out, the attorney did not tell this woman that. I found out later because I'd been working with this woman. The woman had made a mistake. She misunderstood the attorney. But the woman was naming the IRA to the estate. And then from the estate, it was going to go into a trust for her daughter. Mm-hmm. And I started talking to her a little bit. I said, well, why don't you tell me a little bit about the trust? And she said, well, the trust is being created because my daughter has special needs. And I cannot let her get the money if I were to pass away because she would lose her government support and benefits. And that is correct. That type of trust is called a special needs trust. We've talked about them before on the show. We had Jan Lord from Birthedin talking about special needs trusts. She's one of the few. There's a couple of local attorneys who specialize in special needs trusts. And so that's – we're not going to rehash all of that, but that's exactly how a special needs trust will work. The special needs trust will receive assets at the death of the parent and hold those assets. The assets don't go to the special needs child. And the special needs trust has unique language in it that gives full discretion to the trustee on when money is passed out to the special needs child. The special needs child has no right whatsoever to get any money out of that account on their word. It has to be the trustee who authorizes it. And that's very important language. So these types of trusts are what we call accumulation trusts. They have to hold the assets. They cannot pass it out.
Hold it, and any earnings that might come in from those assets get kept inside. They don't just pass out, as some other trusts are designed to do for a variety of reasons we won't go into, but that's what he means by accumulation.
Right. Yes. A conduit trust, on the other hand, as Chris is alluding to, takes all income and immediately passes it out to the beneficiaries. And most trusts are worded that way. And the reason is the income will be taxed at the beneficiary's tax rate. So if the beneficiary is in the 10, 15, 25, 33% bracket, that income will be taxed to the beneficiary. But as Peter is the estate planning attorney, Peter Scott, who will be with us next week. We're going to have a new show, even though it's Thanksgiving weekend. There'll be a new show, and Peter Scott will be giving it. As Peter has pointed out to us repeatedly, Chris, these types of trusts, these discretionary accumulation trusts, the trust like a special needs trust that's going to hold the assets, these trusts actually have to pay the income taxes because they're going to hold the income and only pass it out in certain circumstances. So if they don't pass the income on to the beneficiary, the trust pays the taxes. And the problem with that, which came as a shock to this woman at the seminar, Chris, the problem with that is trusts will that accumulate assets. Trusts will pay the highest income tax rates after generating $12,500 of income, Chris. That's it. Any dollar above $12,500 of income is taxed at 39.6% at the federal level, another 4.65% at the state level here in Colorado. So about 45%, Chris, of money held inside one of these accumulation trusts could be lost to income taxes if it is actually income that the trust is holding. And when I started telling the woman this, I had to break the news to her, Chris, because she told me there was $500,000 in the IRA. Mm-hmm. And I had to tell her that the way it's being structured, you cannot confuse an asset with income. And she went on to tell the group, she was telling everyone, and these numbers are the ones she shared with me, and then she came into the office. She thought she had $500,000 in an IRA. As it turns out, she came into the office a few days later. She has $300,000 of non-IRA assets, $200,000 in an IRA, $500,000 total. Mm-hmm. And here's the problem, I told her. What's going to happen if she passes away? The $300,000 of non-IRA assets, which were invested in a series of stocks, bonds, and diversified investments, typical brokerage-style account, those assets will pass to your daughter's special needs trust, income and estate tax-free. It will be estate tax-free because the estate tax limits are over $5 million for a person. She only had $500,000. So no estate tax. Mm-hmm. I said they'll also be income tax-free. I said for one big reason. This is an asset. It's not income. It's a brokerage account. And the $300,000 not only will pass income tax-free, I told her, it will pass capital gains tax-free. Because her basis, she put in about $200,000 many, many years ago, and it has now grown to $300,000. So I told her that $100,000 again, that isn't even going to be taxed. It will step up in basis at the date of her death, and all $300,000 will go into your daughter's special needs trust tax-free. She liked that. Mm-hmm. But I told her her IRA, which was invested in the same brokerage house, Chris, that had her non-IRA assets in very similar investments. I told her, you're looking at those, but don't look at assets. I said, you see assets, don't you? You see investments. She laughed. She says, yeah, I got the statement right here. Mm-hmm. I said, the government looks at that and sees income. It's not an asset. It's income. It's income that you have never paid taxes on yet. And income, remember what I told you, I told her, income received by these trusts that is held and not passed on will be taxed at the highest rate, 39.6 on the federal level, another 4.65 in Colorado, and for those in other states like New York, you're going to have New York City income tax, you're going to have New York State income tax. You're going to I think those two combined is 11% plus the federal income tax of nearly 40, you're at 51%.
Yep.
She's at 45. I told her when you die, you named your estate as beneficiary. This account has to be paid out to your estate in one lump sum within 5 years. And that money is going to be put into your daughter's trust. It'll all go in, but now the trust is going to hold it. Because if it passes it on, your daughter's going to lose her governmental benefits. So the trust holds it. That's what these trusts do. It's a discretionary trust. It's going to hold that asset. It's not passing it on. I said, but the government doesn't look at assets going in. They're going to look at that $200,000 as income.
Income.
Exactly.
And that's because the money that's in their IRA is a form of what's called deferred income. You have deferred the income tax on it. So in other words, they haven't made you recognize that as income on your income tax return earlier on, assuming you put money in that was tax deductible in the first place, so a traditional treatment of an IRA. So when it comes out, it's not the assets that are coming out in the eyes of the IRS. It's the income coming out that you had temporarily placed into your IRA years and years ago as you had earned that money at a job. And it went in. They didn't recognize it as income at that time, but now they're going to. So even though it looks like you're holding different assets inside there, different investments, if you will, the IRS doesn't look at it as an investment in there because the only way you can tap it is taking it out as income. And as Jim said, the tax rates on a trust are the most undesirable of all the forms of income tax because of how quickly you reach that very, very highest tax bracket, that over 39% bracket. at only a little over $12,000 worth of income, which, when you have to distribute $200,000 over a five-year period, guess what? Every year you're going to exceed that $12,500 level.
Absolutely. And she was shocked on all of this. She had not been told. So when we come back, I know we're going to have to do a break. When we come back, I'm going to get into a little bit. There's not much I could do for her, but there was one thing that I did explain she could do to help mitigate some of the taxes that are going to be owed. But the long and the short of it is, in special needs situations, much of your money that you want to go to your special needs child, if you're leaving it from an IRA, is going to be lost to taxes. It is the most cruel part of the tax code. And I'm hoping, because I know the Republicans are going to eviscerate the tax code in a couple more months, and they're going to come out with a major, major tax law. I'm hoping they pass a rule that gets rid of this very crazy tax rate for trusts. Keep it for non-special needs. But my God, don't start taking money from special needs people. They need that money. They're disabled. And the government's going to take half of it. So I'll tell you what I ended up telling this woman. But when we come back, we're going to lead in with a turkey trivia question. This is a Thanksgiving-related question. Please call in during the break. What's the number, Chris?
970-353-1310.
Everybody call in, 970-353-1310. Whoever guesses this answer will be entered into a pie drawing to win a free Fat Albert's pie that you can use for you and your family. So our first question related to turkeys and Thanksgiving. Every year, approximately how many turkeys are eaten in the United States on Thanksgiving Day? 100 million, 280 million, or 500 million? How many turkeys are eaten in the United States each year on Thanksgiving Day? 100 million, 280 million, or 500 million?
Great. And if you call in, we'll give you those choices again when you get on the air. It'll be after the break. When we come back from the break, we're going to hear one of the top songs from 1935 as we look back to the beginnings of Social Security. This week's song from 1935 features one of the final songs performed by the Dorsey Brothers Orchestra before they broke up and went their separate ways. So there's the hint there. So we'll be back with you right after this short break. Please call in 970-353-1310 to take a crack at the trivia question.
Are you interested in your own customized Social Security analysis? If so, visit us at helpwithmysocialsecurity.com and click the Contact Jim and Chris button. Jim and Chris offer a $75 Social Security optimization analysis that includes a one-hour consultation to discuss the specifics of your Social Security situation. This very affordable offer is for both singles and couples and will provide you with the information you need to make an informed decision about claiming your Social Security benefits.
Am I dreaming or am I awake? I can't believe my eyes. Is it really true? Is it all just a lovely mistake? This heavenly surprise. Me alone with you. Without a word of warning.
Well, welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. It is one of the top songs from 1935. The team of Bing Crosby, Joan Bennett, and the Dorsey Brothers Orchestra created this song, Without a Word of Warning, for the 1935 musical comedy Two for Tonight. It's been covered by many, many people since then, including Mel Torme and Dean Martin. But I don't think that's a song we've heard on the Retirement IRA Show. Some of the things, the 1935 songs, we've recycled a few times. But I think that's
a new one.
That's a new one for the group of 1935 top hits. And we look at this kind of musical montage, if you will, after we come back from every break. We take a look at some type of song from a year that has something to do, some connection to Social Security, as we lead up into the last segment where we're going to talk about what's new on our blog, helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. So I have bad news for you, Jim.
No one's called.
No one has called to answer your trivia question, which means it's either way too difficult, even though there's only three choices. You could take a guess if you had no idea. But we're the trivia question, and you can call in to answer this question and get your name in the pie drawing for today, 970-353-1310. The question was, how many turkeys are consumed on Thanksgiving
In the United States.
In the United States. So the three choices would be – now, outside the United States, they usually don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
That'll be 100 million, 280 million, or 500 million. How many turkeys are eaten?
And if you think about it, it's a fairly obvious answer.
It could be.
Because there's 350 million people in the United States.
Maybe some people eat two.
Or – okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I think – Mm-hmm. The radio station is not working.
Oh, you think the phone's not working?
I don't think we're broadcasting.
Oh, that could be.
I think that's what the problem is. Because
so we're doing this just for our own internal benefit.
Exactly, here? Because last month we got 6 calls. The month before that we got 7. And these were just financial planning related calls.
It was warm then, though.
Today's cold, I agree. But that's more people should be in the house listening to the radio.
Because they're not out in the car.
What else are you going to do on a Saturday morning on a cold day but listen to the Retirement and IRA show first thing in the morning?
I agree, but
I don't think KFKA is actually bright. Micah, do we know for sure we're broadcasting?
He claims. But he's inside here.
But he's inside here too as well.
Okay.
Oh, now we got a call. Okay, so perhaps we are broadcasting.
Maybe so. They were just shy about calling. 970-353-1310.
Well, you also practically gave the answer away.
I did not. Yes, we gave it, but it's one of three choices.
But you gave a very strong hint on how
people know how many the population of the United States is.
All right.
So lucky for us, we're going to have some entrance here momentarily for the pie drawing. So we're going to go to Dorothy here on line one. Good morning, Dorothy. Thank you so much for confirming the radio station is working and the phones are also working.
It is working.
Excellent. So do you have a guess for our trivia question on how many turkeys are consumed on Thanksgiving Day here in the United States?
I'll just take a wild guess, 280 million.
Is it the 280 million?
That is correct.
That is correct, Dorothy. Very nice. I'm going to enter you right now in the pie drawing.
Make sure you give Micah your contact info, because if you win the pie, we have to send you a coupon.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
All righty.
Thanks a lot,
Dorothy,
for calling. See how easy that was, everyone? We're going to do that every break. We're going to have a trivia question every break.
So two more.
And in the meantime, at any time you can call.
Well, we have callers on the line. Don't hang up if you have a financial planning related question.
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
We're going to answer any and all questions on retirement planning related issues because this is the Retirement and IRA show. So that seems appropriate. The occasional turkey trivia will be asked, but hopefully we get some actual retirement questions. I'm sure we will. Now that we got the phone lines fired up, and maybe they just needed a little – they were stuck and needed
all the
a few
calls
people
were
to call
in.
That kind of loosened it up a little bit.
Okay. Back to what we were getting at, though, as Micah sifts through these calls to see if any of them actually have retirement-related questions. I want to pick up where we left off in the last segment. I was trying to explain how the government will look. Even though you may look at your IRA folks – and you think you see investments and assets inside it, the government doesn't look at it that way. They look at it and see income. And when you create a trust to receive assets from your IRA at your death, if that trust doesn't pass the money on to the beneficiaries of the trust right away, no ifs, ands, and buts about it, just passes it right through. If it's going to hold the assets, the trust will have to pay the income taxes on the IRA distribution, and trusts will pay 39.6% on any income received greater than $12,500. Less than $12,500 is taxed at about a effective rate of around 20%. So the first $12,500 will be taxed about 20%, Chris. Everything above that is taxed at 39.6. If you add your state and local income taxes, if you're unlucky enough to live in a jurisdiction that taxes income like New York City, If you add state and local income taxes, that could add another 3, 5, 10, 11% on top of the 39.6, bringing you in the state of Colorado, 45% of your IRA money will be lost. And in other states, Chris, over 50%. So a lot of money is lost that is intended to go to children or beneficiaries. They may be adults by time you pass away, who have some type of disability, and you're trying to provide for your kids, and if you do it with an IRA, it is a tax nightmare. And that's what this woman, Chris, was faced with. She had her estate as beneficiary of a $200,000 IRA. She had $500,000 total. Fortunately, $300,000 was in a regular brokerage account. As we said, Chris, a regular brokerage account is viewed by the IRS as an asset, an investment. It's not income. And there's a special rule that at the death of the owner of those assets, all embedded capital gains taxes are wiped out and the money can be received 100% income tax free, 100% capital gains tax free. And for 99.7% of the U.S. population, 100% estate tax-free. There are a few people who have estates worth more than $5 million or $10 million, $10.5 million if you're married, that would have to pay estate taxes. But for most people, Chris, they can fund a special needs trust with tax-free assets except for their IRA. And that was her problem. And then she had named the estate, her estate, as beneficiary of her IRA. She told me she did that because she was under the impression, the attorney had said, everything is going to pass by your will so your estate can be beneficiary. Well, the attorney, in defense of the attorney, when I met with this particular person a few days later, the attorney had written on her notes to name the IRA as, to name the trust as beneficiary of the IRA, not the estate. The woman I was talking to at the seminar had missed that note. So that was a little bit of good news, I told her, in the sense she needs to do that immediately, because if she didn't, Chris, and the estate was named beneficiary of her IRA, which it was, she showed me her IRA beneficiary form and it said my estate. If she didn't change it, what would happen is if she passed away younger than 70 and a half and she was only 59, I believe. So she was definitely younger than 70 and a half. If she passed away younger than 70 and a half, the entire IRA would have to be paid out to the estate within 5 years of her death. And then the estate would take all that IRA money and put it into that trust. The trust cannot pass it on to the beneficiary. It would hold it, and it would have to pay taxes at the rate of 45%, 39.6 Fed, 4.65 state, on all that money. So about half, almost half, 45% of her IRA assets that are supposed to go to her special needs daughter would be lost. What I told her is when she names the trust as beneficiary, if the trust qualifies as an IRA beneficiary, I don't want to get into on today's show what that needs, I said it will be allowed to stretch out those distributions, not 5 years, but the remaining life expectancy of your daughter, who is only 27. So that IRA could have stayed open for more than 50 years. It was like 53, 54 years. I don't have the single life table in front of me. There's a hell of a big difference between 5 years and 50 years. So the amount that has to come out of the IRA every year at first, Chris, will be even less than $12,500. So it's still going to be lost to taxes, but only about an effective rate of about 20% taxes. And it will allow most money to stay in the IRA. And every year, just a little has to come out because the government's going to give the trust 50 years to close the IRA instead of 5 years. And 5 years would require about 20% a year coming out for 5 years. Whereas in the other example, you're going to be taking out less than 1.5% in the first year. And you can stretch it out for 50 years. So I said it's not going to solve the high trust tax problems, but it will mitigate it and slow it down. So I did tell her, I don't know if your trust qualifies as an IRA trust. She asked if I could review it. I did review it, and then I had Pete review it. And in our two opinions, it will qualify as an IRA beneficiary. We felt the attorney had put some good language in there for that. And we are going to counsel this woman. She's coming back in a week when I come back to proceed but change the beneficiary. I wanted to share all this because I want people to understand if you have a special needs child and you are trying to take care of that child as you need to, you cannot use any Joe Blow trust. You have to use a special needs trust. So you have to go to an attorney well-schooled on those trusts. The other thing you have to make sure is you fund it with any asset but a traditional IRA or 401k because of this tax rule of how money from those accounts is taxed as income. And if this special needs person is older, not in their 20s, or you live a long time and by time you pass away, the special needs child is, say, in their 50s, the distributions do start to get quite large, Chris. It worked out good because this woman is only 27 right now. But I hope the woman, the mother that I'm counseling, lives a long time. Now, it does turn out that the woman that I'm counseling has serious medical conditions and is going for a very major operation. And she was trying to pull all this together before then because she may not survive. And she wanted to make sure all this was taken care of ahead of time. What I want to encourage, because of this woman's medical condition, one of the best assets that we could have used to fund the special needs trust was no longer available. And that is life insurance. So I do, we very rarely talk about life insurance on the show, but there is one time specifically that I love life insurance, and that is for funding special needs trusts. You don't want to leave your IRA to fund the special needs trust. It'll be decimated with taxes. Life insurance is received income, capital gains, and for, again, 99.7% of Americans, estate tax free. And you can leverage your IRA. So during life, what a parent with a special needs child would do is maybe take a portion of their IRA. And we've done this several times, Chris, in the office. We help people, if you remember, determine how much of their IRA they can pull aside and not use to fund their retirement and still afford to fund their retirement. We take that portion of their IRA, we move it to a separate IRA, and we use income from that IRA to fund a life insurance policy. And that life insurance policy, we've done several of them this year. They're usually around $500,000 to, we've done one for over $2 million. And that money will be received by the special needs trust 100% tax free. And then the regular IRA is actually spent down. The parents don't worry anymore, Chris, about what? Having to protect the IRA and save it. Mm-hmm. They've taken care of the inheritance for the special needs child, and it's 100% tax free. So they just spend the IRA down while they're alive.
So I think there's two morals to this story. There's the special needs trust question, which, as Jim mentioned there, they can be quite complicated, and it's something you want to get right because when those fall apart, the ramifications are tremendously negative, in particular for the child that you're trying to take care of. The second one is when you feel compelled for some reason to name a trust as the beneficiary of an IRA or a 401k, you need to make sure those things are again, structured properly. It is not a boilerplate style IRA. So for both of those types of trusts, and sometimes there's a combo. In this case, it was not only special needs, but they were trying to make it so it could accept the proceeds from an IRA. You've got to have counsel that specializes in this, really, because there are some nuanced little things that can suddenly come back to bite you. And it's the type of thing where the IRS doesn't tell you ahead of time. It's afterwards. It's after you've passed away and this thing has triggered and gone in. Then the IRS looks at it and says, oh, here you owe us this huge tax bill, or, oh, that trust doesn't qualify, so this whole thing blows up. So make sure you get this stuff done right up front before you proceed.
And one other thing I want to mention. 1 minute.
Yeah, so it's time for the trivia question.
Oh, all right, never mind. I'll mention it when we come back. Okay.
So call in while we're at the break, 970-353-1310. We've got our second trivia question coming up. So, Jim, what is it?
Second turkey trivia question. The first Thanksgiving was in 1621. How many days did it last? 1 day, 3 days, or 1 full week? How long was the first Thanksgiving feast? 1 day, 3 days, or 1 full week?
Perfect. So we're going to answer that hopefully when we get back from this short break. We're also going to hear the top song from this week in 1976. So we'll be back with you here on the Retirement and IRA Show after this short
break.
You
have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. This actually is not the number one song this week in 1976, and that's because we wanted to mix it up a little, because the number one song is Rod Stewart's Tonight's the Night, but it stays on there for so many weeks, we all were going to get really tired of hearing it. So instead, this is the number two song, which was number two for 3 weeks, performed by the band known overseas as the Detroit Spinners. Here, we just left off the Detroit and just call them the Spinners. And that is the Rubber Band Man, written by Tom Bell and Linda Creed. Bell was concerned, this is a fun fact of the day. Bell was concerned about his son, who was teased by his classmates for being overweight. He intended this song as a way to improve his son's self-image. Originally, the song was to be titled The Fat Man, but it evolved to The Rubber Band Man. Now, I'm not sure what Rubber Band Man – I guess I need to listen to the lyrics a little bit better, because I had no idea there was a tie-in to bullying overweight children. But it was a different era, 1976. This is a little different time. But I'm curious now. I'm going to have to go listen to the words.
I just remember this song, but recently Office Max did a – you remember their commercial? The guy walking through an office and he was giving out everyone's supplies to the song Rubber Band Man. Because he'd give people rubber bands and pens and paper. And
I don't recall that one, but
I had no idea it had anything to do with overweight people.
No.
And nowadays, you wouldn't be able to name a song.
The Fat Man?
The Fat Man.
Probably not. Well, even in 1976, somehow it didn't fly.
Well, yeah, when who was it that came out with Short People? Because that got a few.
That I still remember that being – I was surprised that they played it because it seemed – yeah, it was. It's around the tip of my tongue. It'll come to me in a moment. But back to our trivia. Is the caller on the phone to answer the trivia question? So we are going to go to our caller who had called in at 970-353-1310. I'm giving out the number so you can join them for either trivia questions that we're asking here with a Thanksgiving theme or if you have a retirement-related question. But we're going to go to Sue on line one here from Greeley. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning.
Thanks for holding through the break. Would you like to hear the trivia question once again?
Sure. How many days was the first Thanksgiving last? It was three days long.
It was 3 days long, and that's absolutely correct. Very nice, Sue. We're two for two. We've got some very intelligent callers this morning. Not a huge quantity of them, but the ones who do call are aces, right?
So right now, Sue, and who is the first caller?
Dorothy.
Dorothy are tied, 50-50 chance of winning the pie.
So thanks a lot for calling in, Sue. If you have a retirement-related question, we can handle that too, but otherwise you can just wait to the end of the show and hear if you won the pie.
No, but I do have something for Jim.
Oh, what's that?
I sent you an email yesterday, which is a week late sending, but it has nothing to do with retirement.
You're the coffee woman.
I am.
See?
Very nice.
So you got the message. Okay, great site, yeah. We get coffee for like 50% off. Uh-huh.
And it's safe. And
Sue, I read your email this morning. You must have missed it. And Chris wouldn't let me name the site because he was worried that maybe this was a scam email and people were going to be in trouble. So you're here.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's very nice you called
in. It's got not just coffee. It's got all kinds of things. All kinds of things.
Okay.
Clothing, the household, blah, blah, blah. And it's all good.
Great. So the site you gave me, shopbonton.com, that's the site, right?
It is.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
So
nice.
See,
thanks a lot, Sue.
Thanks, Sue. So see, I said it.
Could be a Russian computer hacker disguising her voice.
Trying to win a pie.
Trying to win a pie on the side and get a bunch of people to go to their website on the other side.
Right. So the website, again, for our listeners, shop, S-H-O-P, bonton, B-O-N-T-O-N, shopbonton.com. I have not visited it, but Sue, who was just on, swears you can get some good K-cups at quite a discount. She said she averages 48 K-cups for as low as $25. So that's like 50 cents each. Well, actually a little less.
Superb.
Okay, just saying.
You did just say. So we're in the middle of a question before?
The only other thing I wanted to do to wrap up before I get into an actual email is with the Special Needs Trust, one other thing to consider, and I'm actually going to talk to this person when she comes in a week on this. You need to name a trustee who knows what they're doing. Most people, and the person coming in next Monday named her even younger son, who lives in Alaska as a bush pilot, as trustee of the Special Needs Trust. That is so wrong. First of all, he's a bush pilot in the middle of Alaska. How active could he be handling that trust? I don't even know what type of internet connection bush pilots have. But beyond that, the trustee of a Special Needs Trust has to know the laws with governmental benefits, so they can make sure any distribution from the trust will not blow up the ability of that beneficiary, that special needs person, to lose their governmental benefits. They have to know when money can be distributed, for what expenses can it be distributed, what documentation do you have to do on those distributions, because if the government says there was too much income to this special needs child, they will lose their benefits. I always, always recommend people with a special needs trust to consider a corporate trustee, a company that knows what they're doing with special needs trusts. That's going to be my last recommendation to this person, but I wanted to let our listeners know that as well, that special needs trusts are so unique. You can't name a 20-something-year-old Alaskan bush pilot as beneficiary. In my opinion, I think you need to have someone who knows the special needs laws and can make sure any distribution will not be too excessive that year where governmental benefits could be lost.
Perfect. So if you have a question for us, we have open lines today. We are live in the studio, 970-353-1310. We'd be tickled to take your call and do our best at answering your retirement-related questions. This is the Saturday before Thanksgiving, so we have a little bit of a Thanksgiving theme going on. At the end of today's show, all the callers with retirement-related questions, as well as all the callers who correctly answered trivia questions for us during today, will be put into a drawing. We'll pick out a name, and that person will receive a free pie from Fat Albert's, which is a fine establishment, been around for a long time, I think since the 1960s, here in Greeley. It's a restaurant. They just happen to have wonderful homemade pies there as well.
They have phenomenal pies, mm-hmm. and they graciously donate a pie to our listeners. Now, you're not going to be able to use this pie for Thanksgiving. That I can tell you, because Thanksgiving's next week. I'm not even going to be in the office next week, and the office has to mail out a coupon for you. So anyone who wins the pie today, essentially it's going to be your Christmas pie, if you want to wait that long.
But I couldn't wait that long. I'd be eating next week.
By time you get the coupon and you walk into Fat Albert's and pick up your pie, you might want to consider it more of a Christmas pie than a Thanksgiving pie. Okay. So we just got an email in earlier this morning.
Ooh, live. Hey, I didn't even put that out there. You can actually email us live during the show. Jim at jimhelps.com. That's Jim at Jim, H-E-L-P-S. So Jim Helps, like he's a very helpful guy. JimHelps.com. Email come right to his little iPad device here, and which is missing a button on the keyboard.
It's missing the caps lock key.
Oh, was that a very heavily used key for you, or just
no? I
hate
that
off?
Damn key, anyways, because it keeps locking, and one day it fell off.
Oh, well, no, you don't.
It works if I touch the little centerpiece, but other than that, the key's not
very
there.
Nice. So what's our email?
Our email is, hi, Jim. And then he gives his real name, but I'm going to say George because we always call our listeners George. Hi, Jim. It's George from Tennessee. And you were wondering, you're all excited. I think we have a star on Tennessee already.
On the map? I'll have to check when we get back in the office to see. If not, there's a nice star going to go fresh on Tennessee. But I think you're right. We probably have
it. I think we have a Tennessean.
We still need West Virginia. Isn't that...
Yes, we have nothing.
He could just driven over to West Virginia and emailed, couldn't he?
He could have, but he didn't.
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
We can ask him. Yeah. Can you please go to West Virginia and send us an email? Hi, Jim. George from Tennessee here. Any idea what is going to happen if Paul Ryan gets his way and privatizes Social Security? So a couple of things. Chris answered this very quickly. His answer was... Do you want to say your answer?
No idea.
That was your answer. Well, actually, it's much longer, your answer. To me, it was just no.
True. So that's trying to predict what's happening in some hypothetical bill to a change in such a huge program as Social Security like that, trying to guess what the ramifications would be pretty complicated. It would be very disruptive, I can say that.
Yes.
I don't think it's likely.
I don't either. And Micah, when he heard the answer, the question, said, who's Paul Ryan? So maybe we should explain. Paul Ryan is Speaker of the House, the head of the Republican Speaker of the House. For those who haven't been paying attention for the last 2 weeks, Donald Trump is going to be the new president, and his coattails kind of rode in and gave full control still of the Senate and the House. And now the Republicans have a Republican president. So the thought is many of the Republican, what do you call those, wishes, I guess, will be pushed through in the first 100 or so days of a Trump presidency. And one thing that is coming, I will freely admit, is going to be massive changes to the tax codes. There's going to be another big tax change. That will probably happen. I can't even begin to fathom what will be in it. As far as privatizing Social Security, that kind of died with George W. Bush. Not that he died, but when he got out of office, that whole push and 2008's massive market crash and this whole idea of privatizing Social Security and giving people individual investment accounts kind of has died by the wayside, and there's not a big push for it. There could be a few senators and congresspeople who would still like to do that. I'm hoping they don't. I'm dead against it, even though I'm an investment advisor and financial planner. Chris and I truly understand the value of Social Security and how it works. It's one of the best lifetime streams of income you can be guaranteed. So hopefully they won't do it. But if they did do it, and that wasn't even in the recent bipartisan panel. We had that long discussion, Chris, of major changes that this panel was proposing. Privatization wasn't one of them in there. But I do want to point out in that panel and also in any change historically to Social Security or to the tax code in general, they have grandfathered existing people. So if this person from Tennessee is already collecting Social Security, I don't think that's going to change even if they privatize it. It'll impact more my niece and nephew who are only in their 20s. This is going to be something that will go to a much, much, much younger generation. They're not going to impact people who are already receiving it.
But the big problem with that, people can think, well, yeah, we can do that, and everybody born now after this date can do the new thing. It doesn't work quite that cleanly because it is the younger workers who are paying the current benefits that go to retired people. If you don't understand how Social Security works, a lot of people imagine that over your working life, you're putting money into a system that is all stored up somewhere in an account under control by the government, and then they dole it out to you when you retire. No, that is not how it works in any way. When we put money in through payroll taxes, it's going immediately to pay for people who are collecting. It's a transfer system. It is not a store it up and then pay it back to you later kind of a system. So if young people, say, started to go into a new program, they're going to still have to be paying Social Security taxes as well. Otherwise, there's going to be no cash to flow out to the people who are retired. There's no giant – we hear about this trust fund. That trust fund is just to make up the little bit of difference that we're seeing, the difference being how much money comes into Social Security system versus how much is going out. There's a little bit more going out than what's coming in now, and they're making up the difference with that trust fund. If they had to pay all the payments to retired people out of that trust fund, it's not going to make it to 2034. It's going to be exhausted in a year or less. I'd have to look at it, but it would drain very, very quickly. And then where's the money going to come from the people who are currently collecting? There's no account with money in it to pay them. It has to come from current payroll taxes. So there's a big challenge there. And there's been some proposals, I know, to have some kind of transitionary period where you slowly turn the knob from the system we have now over to a privatized system. But even if you accomplish that, now you've set up a system where people who happen to retire after a good run-up in the market have a much better retirement situation than people just happen to be unlucky enough to be born 10 years later and run through a bad market. Social Security now, the payments out, have nothing at all to do with market performance or what current interest rates are. They have somewhat to do with inflation, so there's a connection to the economy. But I don't know that we want a system where you're relying on the safety net, which is really what Social Security is supposed to be, the safety net being susceptible to the fluctuations up and down of random things like interest rates increasing or decreasing, stock market going up or down or sideways, bond market going up, down or sideways, because then it's just a luck of the roll of the dice what year you happen to be born. You're lucky enough to be retiring then some 65 years later, and if things happen to be good when you need them to be good, you win. And if you happen to be unlucky enough to be born in another year where things didn't go so well, you lose.
But that's the system we have now with 401ks, and everyone's reliant on Wall Street.
And everybody now is finding out how much less attractive 401ks are than when they first started to be implemented in large numbers.
Exactly.
401ks, they're golden shine came from the fact that people started using them in large numbers coincidentally with large run-ups in the stock market. So they looked at that thinking, oh, well, that's the magic of how I retire. I put in a little bit. The market grows my account, to some huge number, and now I can retire. 401ks aren't nearly as attractive when you've got really poor equity returns, for instance, or you have a really long life. There's another thing Social Security takes care of. It removes the how long am I going to live question, which is the most challenging
exactly.
thing to deal with in retirement. So Jim's right. The two of us are very enamored, I guess, with the idea of the safety net Social Security approach. Are there problems with Social Security? Absolutely. Is it way too complicated from a rules-based system? Absolutely. The rules are bizarro and way too complicated. The average person can't understand them. And if you don't understand them, it can actually cost you money. And here's another case where should the more educated and understanding people of the people who understand the system better, should they benefit over someone who just happens to either not take the time to learn about it or can't digest all of these complex rules? Is that fair? I would say no, that's not fair. It should be easy enough to understand for everybody and a little more fair across the board. But for the most part, removing this huge unknown for retirees, what's the stock market doing this year and what are interest rates going to be while I'm retired,
this
is
thing,
really nice.
This proposal, if it ever came back, listener from Tennessee, not only won't it work, I don't think this proposal will pass or see the light of day.
No.
Because most, even if Paul Ryan wants it, most other people who are running for re-election aren't going to risk the ads that will appear that so-and-so voted to take away your Social Security. And then let's play devil's advocate, and the Republicans do pass it. In 4, 6, 8 years, when the when power moves back, it moves in these huge pendulum swings. When it moves back to the Dems and they control the House, the Senate, and the White House, they'll just bring it back. I mean, and we're going to have this bopping back and forth. Oh, Social Security's back.
I think there's a huge hurdle to get something like this passed.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Nope.
Because as people start to realize the complexities of the reality of such a change, it will quickly lose its attractiveness. The people pitching it are mostly romanticizing this idea of in America, we like to really value self-control, self-determination. I want to, do my own thing. I don't want the government taking my money and doing something with it. I want to control it. That sounds very romantic. In action, it isn't as lustrous and beautiful.
Oh, no. Our retired clients, and again, we deal mostly with people 50 and above, mostly with people who are pre-retirees or retirees, and people who work with us at least love Social Security. Mainly because, yeah, we know the program, we can explain it to them, we can help them optimize it. But Social Security, dollar for dollar, is the best annuity payment you can get, and it's going to beat any investment. And I hope they don't get rid of it, and I don't feel they will. Okay, so we beat that horse to death. Let's move on. I wanted to get to this email. What?
Nothing.
I want to
We're
get
killing
to...
horses again.
Huh? Oh, yeah, we didn't beat the horse. It's already dead, and we just kept beating it. Now you got me all confused.
Sorry.
Where was I?
I didn't say anything. I just couldn't contain my smile.
The email question. Goodness.
Oh, perfect.
Whoops.
Another one?
Well, this one, I actually had to reach out to this person. He's a Coloradoan, so you can't put a star on it. And he asked a question about our show from a couple of weeks ago, and I kind of missed talking about it last week, and I want to get to it this week. And I know we're almost near a break, right?
Yeah, five minutes.
All right, yeah. No problem. Okay, so he asked a question. Remember the show we did on It's the Most Wonderful Time of the World, Roth Conversion Season?
Vaguely.
You don't remember that?
I kind of do.
All right. So he asked a question on that, and then I had to reach out to him to make sure, because I kind of felt I knew what he was talking about in his email, but he confirmed everything, and then I realized I don't think we explained something quite right, or at least fully. So Let me read his email and you'll see where we're going with this.
Okay.
So he wrote to us and he said, recently you talked about Roth conversions and recharacterizations to do before the end of the year. On your show, you said you can recharacterize a Roth, then convert it again 3 days later.
No.
30 days later. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That's just, you know, we didn't say that because that part's not true.
Yeah, I guess I need to clean my glasses. 30 days later. But when I did it last year, I was told by my advisor I had to wait till the following year before I could reconvert. And that was much longer than 30 days. What gives? Mm. So I had to reach out to him. I knew the answer, but I just wanted to confirm. Can you figure out what happened? Because I don't think we talked about this part, because our strategy, and this is where we probably didn't explain it right. Our strategy was, again, you convert before the end of the year in 2016. You do your taxes in 2017. We said you figure out how much you really want to mm-hmm. pay taxes on. My whole analogy of the scoop, like a big scoop into a cup of into a bag of flour. You want a cup of flour, and you scrape that butter knife across the top. That's the analogy we use for our strategy. So we said in 2017, you figure out how much you really want to pay in taxes as you do your taxes, reconvert that amount to an IRA, then file your taxes, and everything is done fine. And then we say in 30 days later, you do it all over again. Do you know why he was told he can't?
Yes, because he wasn't quite thinking of it in the timeline that we were describing our situation, where a conversion, say, was done in 2015, and then in 2016 you do your taxes for April, and then you have all the way until October of 2016 to recharacterize that original one. So you've crossed the year barrier. If you convert, say, in 2015, and then recharacterize still in 2015, you cannot then do another conversion until the end of the year or 30 days, whichever is longer. So, which means, say, you converted on December 15th and then you recharacterized on the 20th, you can't convert again on January 1st because only 2 weeks will have passed since the first conversion.
Right.
But the way we were describing it, you crossed that year barrier because you converted originally in 15. You weren't recharacterizing until 2016. So we really didn't tackle that weird rule because
it didn't apply.
It doesn't
to
apply
the strategy.
To all we're what
right,
we were talking
to the strategy
about.
We were talking about. So I called him. Mm-hmm. Actually, I emailed him, and then he gave me his number, and I called him. And we chatted because I had a feeling I knew what he was doing. He was not doing our strategy. That's the thing. Our strategy is just convert as much as you want. It doesn't matter to Chris and I. Then when you do your taxes, which is always the following year, if you convert in 2016 before the end of the year, if you take a big chunk of your IRA, I don't care if you move $1,000 or $100,000. If you take a big chunk of your IRA, move it to a Roth IRA, that's a conversion. As long as you do it before the end of 2016, it will count on your 2016 taxes. But then Chris and I always were saying on those shows, the following year, 2017, you're going to sit there in January, February, and March and do your taxes. You're going to figure out, gee, should I have converted $100,000? Wow, I can't afford to pay taxes on $100,000. I can only afford to pay taxes on $10,000. So you take the other $90,000 and move it back to an IRA, and then you file your taxes with a $10,000 conversion instead of a $100,000 conversion because you recharacterized the money. Then you file your taxes, and we always then follow that with 30 days later, you do it all over again. Because the law says this. Before, and I researched this, after I got this, I started reading up on it. And lo and behold, in 1998, when Roths first came out, there was no rule. And people were converting and recharacterizing, converting and recharacterizing, converting and recharacterizing multiple times in the same year. First of all, the custodians were getting fed up with it,
yeah.
The IRA custodians, and they were starting to impose their own restrictions. But also the IRS was getting fed up with it because people would convert. And then, which is what happened to this listener, the value of what you converted dropped. So you converted something that was once $10,000. Now it was worth $9,000. And you know, oh, God, I got to pay taxes on $10,000. But if I recharacterize this and then convert again real quickly, I only have to pay taxes on $9,000. And that's what people were doing.
Right. So they were playing a tax game is what yes. they were, which is how a lot of these rules come up. People start to play these games or I don't know if take advantage of. They were playing by the rules, but it was an unintended consequence of the lack of having this rule. So then they clamped down.
Right. Well, the custodians were going to clamp down if the IRS didn't. So the IRS clamped down and passed this new rule. And it said you are allowed to recharacterize in the following situation. You can reconvert in the year after the original conversion. And that was Chris and I's strategy. You convert in 2016. You can reconvert in 2017. Mm-hmm. Or 30 days after you recharacterized, whichever is longer. So in our example, you convert in 2016. You recharacterize in 2017. You do have to wait 30 days, and then you can do it again. But in our listener's situation, Chris, he converted in 2015. Mm-hmm. Later on in the same year, he recharacterized specifically for what I said. The investment dropped.
Right.
And he didn't want to pay the taxes. So he recharacterized. Later on, he decided he wanted to try to convert again. And the advisor said, you've got to wait until
the
next year.
Yep.
Not even the end of the year. Not the December 31st.
January
he had to wait to January 1st.
Correct.
Because he was trying to reconvert in the same year he
did the original conversion.
Exactly. Yep. Whereas the second part of the rule says, or 30 days after the recharacterization, whichever is longer. So when you convert in 2016, maybe recharacterize in March of 2017 while you're doing your taxes, now you just have to wait 30 days. You don't have to wait till the following year. You just have to wait 30 days.
But then that's the last conversion you can do that year.
Yes, you can't keep going back and forth,
right.
Boom, boom. Well, no, not the last conversion. He can convert, and then he can convert later.
More. I'm saying,
you can convert more.
You're right. It's the last conversion, recharacterization, reconversion thing he could do.
He can still recharacterize that. He wouldn't be able to convert in 2017.
Again.
Recharacterize in 2017 and then do it again in 2017.
Right. It's that last step.
Our strategy is for tax bracket optimization, not to play this game of, ooh, my investments dropped. I'm going to move them back and then redo it. I'm going to move them back and redo it. That's not what our strategy is designed for. And with this new rule, not new rule, but this rule that they passed shortly after people were playing that game, they kind of killed that. But anyways, I wanted to explain to listeners and to our emailer why you and I just say 30 days later you do it again.
Perfect. So we're approaching our final break here. We're going to – Jim's going to prepare our final turkey trivia question. And also when we come back, we're going to hear the number one song in 1981. Actually, we're going to hear not the number one song. We're going to hear the number two song. Yeah, we're going to hear the number two song because apparently Tina really hates Olivia Newton-John's Physical. We only played that for a week. She got sick of it already. But we're going to hear the number two song in 1981, which is 35 years ago. What is the
trivia question?
Trivia question.
So anybody who has an answer would call 970-353-1310. That's 353-1310. If you guess this answer correct, your name will be put into a drawing for Fat Albert's Pie. Right now, there's only two people ahead of you, so it'll be an equal one-third chance of winning a Fat Albert's Pie. So someone has to call with this answer. And here we go. The Mayflower. And for those who don't know, that's the ship that took the pilgrims over. The Mayflower was originally built as a ship to transport what? People? Tea and spices from the east? Or beer? What was the Mayflower originally built to transport? People, tea and spices, or beer?
Excellent. So give us a call, 970-353-1310. This will be just a short break, a few minutes here, 2-3 minutes, and then we'll get back to you. We'll pick you up immediately when we get back, and you can do your best to answer that question, get entered into the pie drawing. This is the Retirement and IRA Show. We'll be back with you after this break.
Are you interested in your own customized Social Security analysis? If so, visit us at helpwithmysocialsecurity.com and click the Contact Jim and Chris button. Jim and Chris offer a $75 Social Security optimization analysis that includes a one-hour consultation to discuss the specifics of your Social Security situation. This very affordable offer is for both singles and couples and will provide you with the information you need to make an informed decision about claiming your Social Security benefit.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. That is the number two song, actually, this week back in 1981. The number one song is Olivia Newton-John's Physical, which stayed number one for 10 weeks back in 1981. This song, number two, stayed number two for 10 weeks. How frustrating must that be?
Yeah, but think about it.
Poor foreigner.
He's singing about he's been waiting for a girl like you, mm-hmm. and she's singing Let's Get Physical. They kind of tie in.
They should have maybe done a duet.
They kind of tie in together.
Maybe so.
You got to wait for a girl like Olivia, and then you can get physical.
I never really thought about it that way, but that's very enlightening, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, that is Waiting for a Girl Like You, one of Billboard's top 100 hits of all time, but never hit number one, according to this note. Stayed number two the whole time because Olivia Newton-John was blocking them.
So I'm saying those two songs go hand in hand, one
they
and
do.
Two.
So we look at this. Actually, I think we might have a – oh, excellent. We have a caller, hopefully, that has
– for our question.
For our trivia question. Let's go immediately to Janice in Greeley. Good morning, Janice.
Good morning.
Good morning. Are you calling in to answer our trivia question, or do you have a retirement?
Well, I thought
question?
I would try. What were your choices again?
Okay. So, Jim, why don't you repeat the question and the answers, please?
Okay. What was the Mayflower originally built to transport? People, tea and spices, or beer?
Oh.
Hmm. Kind of tricky.
Trick question.
Dum, 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 dum.
I'll
the
say
Jeopardy
herbs
music.
And spices.
The tea and spices?
Tea and spices. Oh. I am sorry. That one is wrong.
Oh, so it's
okay.
Either humans or
it's either people
beer.
Or beer now. So we need another caller.
Or Janice can call back if she – because there's not a lot of people calling right now. So Janice, give us a call back at 353-1310. So the
well,
area
let's
code
see
970
if someone else will call.
Well, someone else will. But if Janice is quick enough, she can get back right back on.
So if anybody wants to call 970-353-1310, be entered into a drawing to win a Fat Albert's Pie in another 5 minutes. But the Mayflower was originally built to transport people, tea and spices, or beer. Now, we know tea and spices is not correct. So it's either was it originally built to transport people or was it originally built to transport beer? How about beer drinking people?
Well, then half of the cargo doesn't make it at that point. I can't mix those two together. So we are going to go to Janice again on line one. Good morning, Janice. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. I'll try again. I'm okay. going to choose people.
You're going to choose people.
We are sorry, Janice.
Sorry, Janice. It is
okay,
not
well, the
people.
The next person will know what the answer
it's
is.
It's just not meant to be.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, so.
So we do have a couple other callers. So I think someone's going to get there. So we're going to go to Sue, another Sue. This is going to be very confusing because we already have a Sue. But we're going to go to Sue on line two. Good morning, Sue.
Hi.
Hi.
It's actually beer is not the right answer. It was wine and cargo, but beer is what you've got left.
Uh-oh. Now we're going to have to talk to our fact checker.
But Sue, aren't you already entered into the drawing?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Well, that doesn't help. We're going to have to do another question.
So,
okay.
Well, either that or thanks for calling and clarifying that, though. We'll have to,
you're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Sue. So, but we do have another caller. Do we want to?
We have another question.
You want to just, but we're at a huge disadvantage.
We're going to randomly pick another question.
What? This could take forever.
No, I've got a bunch of questions right here.
Well, there's no callers.
Well, we'll ask one more question.
You scared them off by saying
I didn't.
Be a new question.
This whole question.
So while we're waiting for Jim to find a question, let me remind people why we do the songs. We look at kind of some strange musical connection to Social Security, where we look back to 1935 when Social Security started. We look at 40 years ago and 35 years ago, which refer to the 40 elapsed years and 35 computational years involved with the Social Security calculation. So just kind of a bizarre connection there. All in our lead up to what's new on Help With My SocialSecurity.com, which is our weekly blog post on Social Security. So
I've got the question.
Is it time? You want to do the question?
Let me do the question, and then you can do the update.
Perfect.
And then hopefully people will call in.
Okay.
So let's try this again. And Janice, you could play along. Mm-hmm. Sue, you already won. So not won, but she already is in the pie drawing. But let's This one's kind of interesting. I liked this because I grew up right near Plymouth, so I actually knew the answer to this when I first saw it, but it was a good thing. The question is, everybody knows that the Pilgrims enjoyed Thanksgiving with the Indians, but what Indian tribe was it that shared the first Thanksgiving meal? Do you know who the Indians were? So the choices are the Apaches, the Wampanoags, are the Mohicans. Which is the Indian tribe that actually enjoyed the first Thanksgiving with the Pilgrims?
Interesting. Please call us, 970-353-1310. I know Janice and Sue are listening. Janice has a chance to get in. So, darn phone's ringing already. That's excellent. I told you at the end there's always a plethora of calls. So this week, by the way, on Help With MySocialSecurity.com, I talk about the steps in withdrawing your Social Security application. We had covered that before, but we recently have had a number of people asking about that again. So I thought it was a good time to revisit that. So I described the process in which you can withdraw your application, essentially get a restart on your application for Social Security if you decide your original plan wasn't going to work out as you had hoped, or maybe your circumstances change. And you have to do it now within 1 year, and you only get one lifetime redo, if you will. But I'll talk about the specifics of that on our blog post, helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. So we're going to go to Ken in Greeley. Good morning, Ken. And are you going to take a crack at our trivia question here?
The Mohicans.
The Mohicans. Is it the Mohicans?
It was not,
the
Mohicans.
I
am sorry.
So thanks again, Ken. We're going to...
See, I knew that one would trick her because everybody has heard of the last of the Mohicans.
Well, maybe there was only a last one before the Thanksgiving dinner.
No, there's plenty of Mohicans during then.
So now we're going to go to Dorsey in Berthoud. Good morning, Dorsey. Thanks for calling.
Good morning.
Are you ready
it's
to give
Wampanoag.
Us a... Wampanoag. Is it,
it
Wampanoag?
It is the Wampanoag.
Excellent.
Very
so we
good,
have
Dorsey.
A third entrant into our pie drawing. Thank you very much, Dorsey. Make sure that Micah has
you
your... information. We're going to be doing the pie drawing here actually in less than 9 minutes. So,
well, since we got a lot of, you want to do another trivia question? Because I got no more emails.
Sure.
Might as well do
Dorsey
this
probably doesn't
day.
Want us to because
yeah.
Dorsey's more entrance.
Dorsey, Sue, and who's the first one? Dorothy?
Dorothy.
Yeah, they're not going to want us to do more, but I've got a ton of questions here, so we'll do more. We got people calling trying to win a pie. Oh, this one is – well, no, we'll skip that one. This one's a cute one. Mm-hmm. A full-grown turkey has approximately how many feathers?
What?
Look, I don't
– Who determines this stuff? Someone plucked a poor turkey and counted them?
Oh, no. I'm sure people know. Humankind's have been raising turkeys for thousands of years. I'm sure someone counted the damn feathers. So a full-grown turkey has approximately how many feathers? 3,500, 1,000,000, or way too many to count?
That's the third answer?
I don't make these questions up. Tina does.
Goodness. So 353-1310, if you want to give that a try, 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310. If you get the answer correct, we will enter you into the pie drawing that's going to happen now in a very short 8 minutes or so, maybe 7 minutes actually. So we've got time for this one last trivia question,
A full-grown turkey has approximately how many feathers? 3,500? 1,000,000 or way too many to count?
I will say it's way too many for me to count. I'm never going to count the feathers on a turkey. I can promise you that.
I was surprised with the answer. I'll just say that.
Really?
Really.
So it's too many to count?
I'm not saying what the answer is, unless you go outside, call from your cell phone, and talk to me over the phone.
So if someone else would like to do that, that'd be great. 970-353-1310. And Micah's answering something that isn't even one of the choices. Micah's saying 5,000 to 6,000.
That's not
one of the three choices.
It's not one of the three choices.
Thanks for your input, Micah. well, I guess everyone got frustrated and left. So what – you said we have no more emails?
I have – well, actually, I do have one. Let me find it.
Because we can either squeeze one last
email. No, this was one that you and Pete were going to answer next week, but I can do the beginning part with you.
Okay.
If I can find it.
So this is the Retirement and IRA Show. We didn't talk a heck of a lot about it today. Some. A little bit on Roth IRAs. A little bit on Social Security opinion. About
the whole show was the special needs trust, the taxation.
It's been so distracted with the – Turkey Day stuff, though.
No, the Turkey Day stuff has been a minor thing.
Okay.
So
Google or Mike is claiming that Google is giving different answers to your three. So he's basically calling Tina's integrity into question.
He is. Tina's going to whoop your butt there, Micah. You are questioning Tina.
Tina, if you want to whoop my butt, my name is Mark, and I live in Fort Worth, Texas.
Yeah, okay.
Wrong accent. So how many emails do you have?
A lot. No, it's not that one. I think it's the beginning part of the email I just sent you and Pete.
Okay,
next
so while
week.
We're waiting for that, I will say that it is coming to the end of the year here. One of the hard deadlines for the end of the year is doing a Roth conversion. So if you are interested in finding out if you should be doing a Roth conversion for some reason and how to do it, now's the time to contact us. JimHelps.com is the best way to locate all of the ways of contacting us. There's email choices on there. You can phone us. There's even the address. You could send us an old-fashioned letter, if you will. Although, because of the time constraints, we're running out of time to do a conversion for 2016 from your traditional accounts, from either a IRA or traditional 401k, converting them to a Roth IRA, that has to be done by the end of the year for it to count in 2016. So this is, in fact, Roth conversion season, and it would be best if you didn't wait until the week after Christmas, because things get really tight then. But believe it or not, there are ways you can pull it off with very short notice, but it is a lot easier if you can plan ahead a little bit. So now would be the time, I'd say, to be starting that process if that's something you're interested in doing for 2016.
Okay, I found the email. Mm-hmm. It's the email I sent you last night. Did you get this one? Social
yes,
Security question?
But okay. As soon as I read that it talked about doing something next week, I skipped forward.
Okay. Well, this is one that I wanted you to reach out to him on and check his math. He put a bunch of math.
Oh, that one. Yes, I did glance at that. I haven't responded.
Well, the beginning of that email was actually about Roths. So since we're talking about Roths, we can address this. But also, for any listener out there, we're going to be giving away pie. In how many minutes, Chris?
Just a couple, so
just
shoot quickly.
Just a few minutes. So 353-1310 or 877-353-1310 if you want to –
It's getting a little late now.
To try the drawing. How many feathers are on a turkey? 3,500, a million, or too many to count? I admit that's a kind of silly answer, but that's what Tina gave us. Okay, this gentleman wrote, you're going to answer this directly to him. It was actually a Social Security question, but he began it with – He was listening to our backdoor Roth IRA show where we were talking about how people put money in a non-deductible IRA and then convert it to a Roth IRA. And this is often done by people who earn too much money to put money into a Roth IRA directly. And it's kind of got the name backdoor Roth IRA as its standard name. He did ask a question on it. He said he was shocked because he used to do his – he would put the money in and convert it within a month. And we were saying on the show that there's some uncertainty into how long you should wait. Some people say you should wait over a year. Some people say you need to wait at least a few months so you don't fall victim to what is known the step doctrine rule. And he put it in there that he wrote, I wouldn't be surprised and I would be disappointed if the government back tested how many months you had to wait. It sounds like this is a debate within your Ed Slot group itself. He said, but this is what the government does. So I guess what he's trying to say is he's a little worried, is a month long enough to wait? The only thing I want to address for anybody doing the backdoor Roth, I personally don't feel you need to wait at all, but that's my personal opinion. It is very different from what many in the Ed Slot group, they think you should wait over a year. The fact of the matter is the IRS, Chris, has not defined how long one needs to wait before putting the money in and then converting it.
I think the uproar would be huge if they tried to go back and punish people that did it in the past when the rule was not clear.
Yeah, the rule isn't clear.
So what I need you to do, Jim, is pick a random number from 1 to 3. I've randomly assigned numbers to our three entrants into the pie drawing. You pick a number randomly, and through that double random event, we will determine a winner.
I'm going to say number 1.8.
Oh, a counting number between 1 and 3.
1.
One would be Sue, our second caller. So Sue is the winner of the pie.
Two is
would
one?
Be in two, no.
Two is one.
Two is three, and three is one. So this has been the Retirement and IRA Show. We will be back with you next week with another show. It'll be pre-recorded next week, but it'll be an interesting topic with estate planning attorney Pete Scott. So please have a great Saturday. Have a good Thanksgiving. We'll be back to you next week with a new show on the Retirement and IRA Show.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Solnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Solnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.